Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning, Hoosier fans, and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We want to wish you one and a happy holiday season. Christmas is coming up. New Year's is coming up as well. So happy holidays to you and your family. We also are getting ready for the Outback Bowl with Indiana and Ole Miss playing on January 2nd in Tampa, Florida at 12:30 on ABC. Today's show, we're going to break down Indiana's snub out of the Fiesta Bowl, why they went to the Outback Bowl, the fans' reactions to the reaction of going to the Outback Bowl, and then former AD Fred Glass spoke out against the Big Ten, basically shafting IU and working in collusion against Indiana. So we got a pretty packed show, but first let's hear from our sponsors over at Bet Online. It is bowl season, TJ. It is my favorite time to bet on college football. Anytime you can bet on games at 3:30 in the afternoon, especially over winter break as a teacher, is fantastic. You might not be at bowl games this year, but you could still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads, totals, to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. TJ, today I took the over in the Potato Bowl against, I think it was Nevada and Tulane. And then I parlayed the UCF plus 6.5 and the under, I think it was at 74.5 against BYU in the Boca Raton Bowl. So head on over to Bet Online for all your betting needs. So where do we start? Let's start with the Fiesta Bowl snub, TJ. A lot of fans are angry about it. Writers were angry about it. National people were angry about it. Indiana didn't move up after their win at Wisconsin. They were left out of the New Year's Six in part because of two reasons. Iowa State, after their loss to Oklahoma, didn't fall far enough. And then the ACC, since Notre Dame is part of the ACC this year, Notre Dame went to the playoff as well, which means North Carolina, who was slotted behind IU, jumped up and took their spot. There's a lot of calls for a total just blow the system up and redo it. The best one I've seen so far is probably a plus one championship game where you play all the bowls. And I won't get into details of it, but at the end of the bowl season, then you play your championship game after that. And I think you have to get rid of this stupid selection committee because they did not do a very good job this year. What are your first thoughts on the Fiesta Bowl snub?
Well, after Saturday's results, we were kind of on the razor's edge as to what we thought was going to happen to Indiana. At that particular time, it felt like a 50-50 proposition on the Fiesta Bowl, possibly leaning a bit more towards Indiana being out, just because we were pessimistic that IU would be treated to what we consider fairly. And it turns out that that's accurate. I think that for me, the biggest issue that I have is three lost teams being placed ahead of Indiana. You know, Iowa State has a double-digit loss to a Sun Belt team, Louisiana Lafayette, which a good team. I'm not saying, oh, they're from the Sun Belt, they stink. No, but they're not a power conference opponent, and it's a 17-point loss at home. I don't see what they have done to be ahead of Indiana.
Yeah, Florida. And it's not like they lost. Look, they lost early, and it's not like they went, you know, 11-1 and beat a whole bunch of teams. And you could say, well, that was a blip on the radar. They lost three times, and their win against Oklahoma gets negated because Oklahoma beat them in the Big 12 championship game. Yeah. You could continue on your.
It, like, I think that it was contradictory to have Ohio State in the top four, given the third seed, but also have Indiana and Northwestern. I'll throw Northwestern in there outside of the New Year's Six. Northwestern, I don't think they deserve to go because they lost to Michigan State. But Indiana, their only loss was at Ohio State by 7 points. So either you think that highly of Ohio State and their limited resume, and as a result, you're more impressed by Indiana, or you say, well, we don't view Indiana that highly, so Ohio State, you didn't beat anybody, therefore you don't get to go. But yeah. Instead, they send Ohio State to the college football playoff, give them the 3 seed, and have Indiana outside of the New Year's Six. After that, Indiana misses out on the Citrus Bowl, which I think you and I are on the same page on this. While it's irritating to see Northwestern in, quote, a higher bowl in terms of the pecking order than Indiana, I don't really care about that. I think the Outback Bowl was a cool bowl game. Like, I want to try and separate my disappointment with the New Year's Six selection process from Indiana's, you know, accomplishment in getting to the Outback Bowl. The Outback Bowl is a good outcome to the season. You have to win the game now. My disappointment is that IU is playing a 4-5 SEC team as a result of the bowl affiliations and the, you know, the SEC having multiple teams in that New Year's Six spot. So, that's the disappointment for me, is that we don't get a marquee opponent. Ole Miss is a cool opponent, but they're 4-5. I think the game is going to look really cool on TV. The Florida Sunshine, hopefully. You know, Ole Miss has great-looking uniforms against Indiana. It's a entertaining team to watch play because they are all gas, no breaks. But I can't help but be disappointed that we're not going to see the Hoosiers go against at the very least, a fellow ranked opponent. That being said, it's an opportunity for IU to play in Tampa, which a lot of IU's players are from that area. Tom Allen has ties to that area. That's a cool story. It's a chance to play in the state of Florida, where you're continuing to try and recruit heavily. And it's an opportunity to get a bowl victory, which is a very important step for this program. So disappointed, and certainly I think there's a lot to unpack in the coming weeks as far as, you know, what this means for Indiana moving forward in terms of – and what it means for college football moving forward. The amount of exposure that has been given to how messed up the selection process has been, and the amount of, I think, conflicts of interest that are adherent and a given when you have current athletic directors on a selection committee. There can't help but be conflicts of interest. The last point I'll make as far as the snub goes, you know, Gary Barta, I think the athletic Iowa director, the athletic director for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and the head of the selection committee, I think, actively worked against Indiana. We will talk about Fred Glass's comments. I think Barta actively worked against the Hoosiers. And IU opens up the season at Iowa on September 4th. You better believe that game is circled by everybody in the Indiana football program.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get into Fred Glass's comments later in the show, because I thought he confirmed what everybody is thinking. And he's been in the room and things like that. As far as the Outback Bowl, look, the difference between the Outback Bowl and the Citrus Bowl is negligible. You know, people are going to get caught up on the record of Ole Miss. But here's the thing. They didn't play a non-conference schedule. So, you know, they played an extra SEC game and went 4-5. Let's say they play their 4 non-conference. You're talking about a 7-5 or 8-4 team if they play their regular non-conference schedule. And that's, you know, everybody's knocking. Well, Indiana hasn't won, you know, beaten a team with a winning record. And I saw somebody posted that they haven't done it in 2 years. Like, stop. All these games that were bye wins that, you know, puff up teams' records were canceled this year. You know, you don't – Wisconsin would be, you know, probably a 7 or 8 win team. Penn State, who finished – they finished on a 4-game winning streak. They weren't terrible. Penn State's probably a 7-5 team, or at least a 6-6 team. And things like that. You know, Maryland, Rutgers, you know, probably finishes with 6 wins. You know, all the Maryland probably finishes with 5 or 6 wins. All these, well, they did. It's a unique year in 2020. I'm not going to get caught up while Indiana hadn't played it. At the beginning of the year, everybody was moaning and groaning about how difficult this IU schedule was. You know, they had to play Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan State, Wisconsin. You can't have it both ways. And, yeah, it's probably a little bit of a down year for the Big Ten. But a lot of that had to do with a lot of guys opted out. You know, Penn State, look, Indiana won by 1 point. Penn State didn't have arguably their best player in Micah Parsons. And, you know, Journey Brown is probably their second best player. You know, at that time, they were without him. But Indiana can't control that. You know, they can't control who they play, when they play them, and how the team responds after losing to Indiana. Penn State went on a 4-game losing streak after that. You know, if they beat Maryland, now you're talking about a 5-4 Penn State team instead of a 4-5 Penn State team. So in regards to the Outback Bowl, I think it's a great bowl. You know, you call it a New Year's Day Bowl. It is played on January 2nd, but it's one of those New Year's Day Bowls that, you know, people watch. You're getting an SEC opponent who is at the top, at least in the top 4 in every offensive category, probably except for turnover margin in the SEC. It's a team that, since IU's recruiting the South, it's a team that you recruit against, and you're playing in Tampa, where IU has a ton of, you know, recruiting tentacles out. There's a lot that's going into this game, and yeah, sure, would you have liked to play Auburn? But guess what? A 6-4 Auburn team with no head coach is still going to be disrespected, and that kind of win is going to be discounted anyway. So, you know, you can be simultaneously angry that IU didn't go to the Fiesta Bowl, but this is a bowl game that IU was begging to get into last year. And guess what? They wanted IU. And Indiana's been to – this is their 13th bowl game. They haven't won a bowl game since 1991. There's a lot on the table here. And despite what some other writers have written – and things like that, oh, well, there's not much to gain. There's a lot to gain. There is a lot to gain. Your season hinges on this game. You lose, and it's, oh, you lost to a 5-5 SEC team with a terrible defense. But if you win, you get off that bowl losing streak. You end the year on a win. You go 7-1. You beat 7 Power 5 teams. You beat an SEC team in Florida. And, you know, you get to play in front of your fans and players' families, and you get to showcase your team in a recruiting hotbed for this program. And not to mention, you also get practices while Purdue, Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Minnesota, Illinois are all staying home. So you're developing your program like that. Indiana fans can't be short-sighted. Yes, I get you're angry. I understand it. But, you know, the fans clamoring for this team to opt out of the bowl or decline the bowl bid, you're insane. It's stupid. It's, you know, Indiana, the brand of Indiana football, and this is what Fred Glass is alluding to when he said that, you know, the Big Ten, the big wigs in the Big Ten, you know, don't respect IU and actively work against them. You have to build the Indiana football brand. And I know people get turned off by the word brand because it's college sports and all that stuff. But guess what? That's what it is. Indiana football is a brand. You want bowl games to say, hey, we want to go, we want IU to come to our bowl game. When bowl reps come to the game and see a half full stadium for a team that was 6-2 last year, they're like, why do we, they can't even come across the street to go to a game. Why are they going to come down to our bowl game and spend money? It's just, you know, there's a little bit of blame to be placed on everyone. You know, the media in the past, you know, you've had guys for the Indy Star writing articles about high school coaches should be coaching IU and Purdue during the bucket game in a game where you had Nate Sudfeld throw for like 4 touchdowns and IU's, you know, bowl drought was, you know, ending. And then the next year, the same guy is writing about how miserable it is to be at this event and, you know, basically walked out early and took the shuttle with the old folks home, you know, in the fourth quarter. You have other writers who are watching soccer games at spring practice and, you know, not paying attention. And you know, it's everything. How you cover the team is also how the nation perceives it. If you treat it like a joke, the nation is going to treat it like a joke. You have to respect yourself before everybody else is going to respect you. So the Outback Bowl is a great opportunity for IU. They need to win this game because it has everything on the line. You know, and I know there's not going to be, I don't think there's going to be an emotional letdown. If you watched Tom Allen's presser on Sunday night, he was fired up. And you know, he's got a lot of history with Ole Miss. He's got a lot of history in Tampa. And, you know, to cap off this season with the win, you talk about program changing seasons. We talked about it a lot. This is a program altering season. You go 7-1, you win a bowl game. Now it's, okay, what else do you want us to do? And there's not much you could do. You can't control what other teams do. So let's talk about Ole Miss a little bit, TJ. Actually, let's talk about Fred Glass's comments because it's going to tie into everything. Fred Glass came out and said that the good old boys of the Big Ten actively work against IU. And that that's what they do. Here's the statement. If you haven't heard it, I'm not AD anymore, nor officially affiliated with IU. So I could tell you what I think. And that is this: our program, our coach, and our kids got done in by the good old boy Big Ten football power structure. There are influential people who don't want Indiana to be good in football. They're not used to coming in. They're used to coming into our state and coaching our best high school players and counting us as a W on their schedule. That's why they don't advocate for us. Is there any real doubt we're the second best team in the conference? Look at the polls, even the CFP. Look at common opponents. To those who are trying to kill a resurgent Indiana football program, I say it's not going to work. You're putting more logs on the fire. I love Tom Allen, and I love these kids. And he put it perfectly. It's everything's against IU, and it makes sense. All these conspiracy theories about referees fixing games, you know, every big call going against IU, it makes sense, and that's the sad part. What are your thoughts on Fred Glass's comments?
Well, I think that you have to assume that Tom Allen, or I'm sorry, that Fred Glass is speaking for people that cannot come out that strongly publicly. Scott Dolson, the current IU athletic director, Tom Allen, the Indiana coaching staff. It is, I think, incredibly likely that they have very similar feelings to Fred Glass. However, it does not benefit them or the program for them to come out with a flamethrower and make those public comments. Scott Dolson has to work behind the scenes to build the relationships, to prevent things like this from happening in the future, and to keep building Indiana's football program. I think that Fred Glass doing so publicly was great. I think it was a statement that everybody can see the rationale behind. If you are thinking, who might he be referring to? My instinct would be to tell me Ohio State is not the team that that cares whether or not IU gets good at football. I don't think Ohio State sees anyone in the conference as a legitimate threat to them. I think the most likely people that he's talking about would be guys like Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin.
Yep.
Guys like Gary Barta and Kirk Ferentz at Iowa.
Yep.
Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, guys that are in that second tier in the Big Ten that do not want to lose their place to Indiana or have another team join them in that tier. I think that those are probably the people that that he is referring to. Yep. Now, in terms of what I think it can do, I think that it will hopefully kind of develop an us versus the world mentality for this fan base. I think that, that can help build a fan base if you feel like there is a common purpose around your program. Now, what can't happen is that you see that and feel like it is an insurmountable fight or an insurmountable hill to climb, and you just, you know, give up and turn away because woe is us, and it doesn't matter what we do, we can't succeed. I don't think that that's happening, but if you get, you know, three or four seasons like this where Indiana continues to succeed on the field and continues to get robbed of what you feel are their rightful rewards, you know, maybe you see that type of mentality begin to set in. But for now, I think that there is kind of a siege mentality that could take hold here, which I think can help build a fan base for what I hope. One, hopefully we get back to having fans in the stands in 2021. And if that's the case, Memorial Stadium darn well better be a true home field advantage. Because, you know, if you are saying, look what we deserve, look what we deserved, and I can sit back and agree with you, and I think most college football fans can sit back and agree with you, but what you have an ability to control is whether or not you'll support this team in 21. That's what you have the ability to control, is whether or not you will support the team. You will buy the merchandise. You will show up at the games. You will, you know, pay attention to the articles. You will give voice in the comment sections of College Football Reddit and the blogs and all that stuff. Support that team, build that fan base, and make Indiana football into, you mentioned it, the brand that is able to overcome those good old boy network of the Big Ten that's trying to keep the Hoosiers out of the New York Six Bowl or out of a Citrus Bowl, and hope that they just go back to an easy W on a Saturday in October.
Yeah, and then, you know, we won't get into it on this podcast, but talking to brands, you're going to have an NIL change where players are going to be able to make money off their likeness. And you saw it at signing day with the players getting their own logos, which I thought was really cool. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All that helps. You know, you saw Indiana tweets out, you know, interactions with stuff on Twitter, and IU was like either top in the country or top five or top 10, right? And something like all that stuff matters to these bowl reps. You know, I hate to say it, but it's a business and they're only interested in money. They don't care if it's Indiana versus Ole Miss. They don't care if it's, you know, Bloomington South versus, you know, Central, you know, Oxford High School. As long as, you know, they bring people who spend money and things like that, that's all they matter. And, you know, watching games and TV numbers, they look at all of that stuff. And it's not just, well, Indiana, you know, beat three ranked teams at the time. And they're three, you know, we're 3-1 against top 25 teams, you know, when they played them and things like that. And S&P Plus ratings and all that stuff. They don't. These guys are they're old school business guys outside of John Urschel. It's just, you know, at some point you have to build the program, and that now's the time. You got to get the students in, because if they're not coming from the grass lots when they're students, they're not coming from wherever they're living when they're alumni. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, there are people criticizing Scott Dolson for not speaking up. Look, Indy, could he have said something more publicly that would have satisfied the fan base? Probably. Was it a good idea? Probably not. But Indiana also has to campaign. They have to campaign for their team a little bit better.
Publicly without going to Scott Dolson with it first. Fred Glass, as the former AD, he knows exactly what you are allowed to say, what would be effective, and what Scott Dolson can and can't do. And I think that the two of them, in my opinion, like Scott Dolson is saying the same things Fred Glass is, just he can't say it. And if I have to believe that Scott Dolson is doing what he can behind the scenes while Fred Glass is doing it publicly.
And if Dolson's not doing it, if Dolson's not doing it behind the scenes, then it's a big mistake that he's athletic director. Because we'll assume that he's banging on whatever he watches his Zoom calls on this year, and conversations are being had. But when Indiana doesn't have the leverage to do what Nebraska did with the Big 12, or what Boise State's going to do with the Mountain West, where they're potentially going to the AAC. Indiana doesn't have that leverage. You know, basketball isn't what it used to be. You could argue that, you know, probably baseball or men's soccer, maybe the women's basketball is probably your flagship right now behind football. And the way that the Big Ten treats Indiana football, they're going to be okay. See you later. We'll go get somebody else to replace you. You can't threaten anything. There's zero leverage. I mean, Fred Glass probably did, you know, the only thing they had leverage of was saying, hey, you guys are corrupt. You know, if Indiana was like, hey, guys, you know, stand up for us or we're going to go public that you're not. And, you know, I watched the SEC Network pregame show for the SEC title game, and that needs to – they're actively campaigning for Texas A&M in Florida. And that's what the Big Ten Network has to do for Indiana. You know, you have some of these former players who are not buying into it. Oh, it's a nice season and things like that. But, you know, go in and have, you know, Dave Revson or Mike Hall or Howard Griffin say, listen, Indiana's 6-1. Iowa State has three losses. What are we doing? And I think that's a problem too. And we all notice it. We all know that the Big Ten Network highlights Michigan and Ohio State because they bring in the dollars. And, you know, the great thing about being in the Outback Bowl and being in a bowl game in general is the publicity. Yesterday on the Bowl Mania show where they broke down all the bowl games, Trevor Maddich, I think it was at the top of the show, at least in the first 5 minutes of it, talked for several minutes about Tom Allen and this Indiana team and how they probably should have been in the Fiesta Bowl and how great they're playing and how he wanted to play for Tom Allen. Like, that, you can't put a price on that stuff. And, you know, if ESPN could do it, the Big Ten Network needs to do it too. And that's, you know, where behind closed doors, Scott Dolson's got to say, you got to give us something. Yeah, you know, enough of this. I get we're not the whipping boy anymore. And I'm sorry, that's not how it's going to work. So, you know, he's got to go to bat for IU behind closed doors and let, you know, it would have been nice to see Michael McRobbie say something too. But we all know his view on athletics, and I think that takes a toll too. Is you have a president who doesn't care. You have a board of trustees who doesn't care. You have a fan base who there are about 20 or 30,000 diehard fans who really, really care. The rest of it, you know, are people talking about basketball games in October when your football team is 6-2 and going a bowl game and things like that. So it's, you know, IU's got to take a look in the mirror at itself as well and say, what can we do better to market ourselves? And, you know, that starts with winning the Outback Bowl.
Absolutely. Yeah, the only thing you can do as a football team is come out, you know, show the type of team that you have been all season, beat Ole Miss, and finish in the top 10 in the polls and try to use that momentum towards the 2021 season. You know, use that fuel, use that fire to keep you going throughout the long off season and be ready for a banner year in 2021. That's really all you can do. Ole Miss is going to be a significant challenge for the defense. You know, they're averaging over 40 points per game. Their offense has gotten it done pretty much every time out. Well, the defense has been an abject disaster for them. They are allowing over 40 points per game. They've had a couple of guys opt out, including top wideout Elijah Moore. However, I don't think Ole Miss is going to I think that the Rebels will come into the game with Lane Kiffin as their head coach, Matt Corral as their quarterback. They're going to come in expecting to put up points. I don't think that they feel like Indiana's defense is going to be able to slow them down. And you know what? They might end up being right. I mean, they have put up points on everybody. So this, well, you can say, well, Indiana beating Ole Miss won't prove anything. If they can hold their offense down or limit it at all, that will prove something on the defensive side of the ball. I think that the Hoosiers need to go about controlling the tempo of this game, which does not mean you run the play clock down to 5 seconds every time. It doesn't mean you run the ball 50 times. It doesn't mean that. But you be mindful of the offense that Ole Miss has and how you can help your defense in limiting their offense. I think that controlling tempo will be important. I think capitalizing on your red zone chances against this defense will be important. IU is going to be able to move the ball. I have no doubt about that. Ole Miss has a bad defense, but if you move the ball and don't capitalize on those opportunities by scoring touchdowns, you could be in some trouble. Because Ole Miss has a ton of explosive plays that they will rack up. And I think it's likely that they're going to score. So I think converting on those drives that you move the ball with touchdowns instead of settling for field goals, which IU's been pretty good with this year. So continuing that. And then, you know, the takeaways, which, again, it's the same things that IU's been excelling at all season. That doesn't change for the bowl game, but bowl games are all about mindset, which team comes out, you know, more prepared and hungrier to play. It's a little bit different in that it's a compressed window to prepare for it. But you've got, I think the matchup is certainly, and we'll preview it more in depth later, but the matchup is certainly Ole Miss explosive offense against IU defense. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, so you're saying take the over. On BetOnline, it has the over at 67. If you go to BetOnline, you could use promo code Armchair for all your sign-up bonuses as well. But they have it at 67 right now. As many points as Mississippi's offense has given has scored, they give the ball away as well. Matt Corral has thrown 14 interceptions. He's fumbled 5 times. And this Indiana defense is very, very good. We'll put it this way. They're great at taking the ball away. They'll get theirs. It's not that Corral's super careless with the ball. It's just that they're willing to take the risks because they have that explosive offense. They're willing to roll the dice a little bit more into tight windows to look for those big plays. And, the risk, as the reward goes up, the risk is going to go up too. And that's, why he's throwing 14 picks. He's completed, Corral has completed, I think, about 70% of his passes. And we'll see how motivated Mississippi is. It's their first bowl game since 2015. They want to get the offseason rolling with Lane Kiffin. It's a chance to climb back to 500 and things like that. We'll see. Throw out the records. It's a really good matchup. It's a, BetOnline has it as Indiana as a 6.5-point favorite. It's a fun match. It's strength against strength. And we'll see, we'll keep everybody updated on who opts out, who else opts out. I don't think Indiana's going to have many players opt out, if any. There are injuries that Indiana has. Michael Penix will not be playing. Marcelino Ball will not be playing. Raheem Lane's not playing. But they should have, with the 2 weeks of canceled games, they should get everybody back from their COVID scare, more or less. And they should be well-rested and not as beat up. So we'll preview Mississippi more. Nate Comp, who's an Indiana alum and also a grad student at Ole Miss, another Hoosier tie to Ole Miss, he's posted his preview of Ole Miss around noon today. So that will be out. He did a very good job of giving an overview of that program. And, we'll see. It's a game that fans should be excited for. It's another chance to get a win. It's a chance to end a streak. So final thoughts, TJ?
Well, I'm just thankful that we'll get to watch this team play again. It was certainly a disappointing end, not being able to play the bucket game and then not being able to play the bucket game a second time, or have any type of championship week matchup and then have basically nothing you can do to help yourself as you watch your bowl, selection slide from the Fiesta on down to the Outback Bowl. It's been a frustrating few weeks where the Indiana football team has been unable to do anything about it. So I'm excited to get to see this team be able to play another game, have some control over the outcome of what happens to their season, and be able to finish it on a positive note. This team deserves to be able to go out riding a high and, using that momentum into the off season for what I think we can all say is going to be the most eagerly anticipated football season in recent Indiana history, without a doubt. So I'm just excited to be able to watch these guys play again.
Yeah, and it's another chance to watch a team play. Fans are going to be allowed down at the stadium. So if, you have the means and feel comfortable enough to travel down to see the team, do so. I know there's a large alumni fan base down in Tampa. We have several loyal readers who are down in Tampa who comment a lot and things like that. So I know they're super pumped to have IU down there as well. It's time. Look, we're all angry that they didn't go to the Fiesta Bowl. Time to put that to bed get to work and, you know, go and win a bowl game and beat an Ole Miss offense that, you know, that put a scare into Alabama, put a scare into Florida. And if Indiana wants to start being mentioned with those teams in terms of quality, if you come away with a win and play well on defense, you're going to start turning some heads. Now, of course, it's the SEC. They're going to be, well, they didn't really care about the bowl game and things like that. But it's just noise. And fans and players need to tune that out as well. So that does it for today's show. Thanks for joining us. We'll have everything leading up to our bowl game and things like that. So keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com early and often. Follow us on Twitter @Hoosier_Huddle and follow us on Facebook as well. TJ, thanks for joining us today. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll talk, we'll preview the game in depth next Monday.
Sounds good. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. That does it for today's show. But before we get out of here, a word from our sponsors over at Manscaped. Hoosier Huddle does get support from Manscaped, and it is also presented by Manscaped. It's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, helping 2 million men all over the world get rid of their hair. If you go to Manscaped, it's still looking for a Christmas gift for the man in your life. Head over to manscaped.com, use the promo code armchair, and you get 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the promo code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go and whack your weeds and make Santa proud. All right, just to wrap up, Indiana is facing Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl in Tampa, Florida on January 2nd at 12:30 in the afternoon. On ABC, you could also catch the game on the Indiana Radio Network. We will have all your updates leading up to the game. I will be down at the game as well as some of our other writers. Have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. 2020 is finally coming to an end. There's an end in sight for COVID. So here's to a better 2021 and to a great, fun bowl experience coming up for the Indiana Hoosiers in the Outback Bowl. All right, that does it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week to break down the game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing Broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.